From the late 1700s until 1983, the Aleut people of the Pribilof Islands were in servitude to the fur seal business. First, Russia controlled the trade, and after the sale of Alaska to the U.S., the Aleuts were under the thumb of the federal government. Their transition to independence was not easy, but 25 years after they were freed from fur seal industry bondage, the 450 residents of St. Paul Island are celebrating and taking a week to relive various aspects of Aleut history. Aquilina Lestenkoff is the director of the Tribal Culture Department. She says after the North Pacific Fur Seal Treaty of 1911 was signed, there were strict federal controls on every aspect of life for the Aleuts in the early 1900s.
In 1911, because the United States government had to answer to other countries that were party to the Fur Seal Treaty, everything on these islands had to be accounted for. Every nut, screw, bolt, piece of cloth, every fur. And so from that point on, the Pribilof Aleut people, in a sense, served, as we call, a century of servitude.
How much control did Aleut people have over their lives during this period? What happened if they wanted to leave the island or if others wanted to come to the island?
Well, I think our people didn't have a whole lot of control over what they did. They had to ask permission to leave the island. They had to ask permission to travel even to the Aleutian chain to visit relatives. And this was up into the 1960s that our people had to ask for permission to leave. In regards to people having to answer to the federal government regarding what they did, even clothing was issued to people. The homes belonged to the United States government. So it was sort of like a company town.
And Aquilina, when you think of the research that you've done about your own history, your people's history there in the islands, what have you come across that really gives an example that maybe really stood out to you as an illustration of how stringent the control was that the federal government had at that time?
I have everything from my dad telling his stories of the work that he had to do and sometimes how he wanted to rebel. But I also have a simple story of my grandmother who was so happy to be issued a muffin tin. Every house in the village got a muffin tin, and she was so happy because she was going to make muffins for her family. And the next day, the representative of the federal government came back and collected all the muffin tins because what they were supposed to be used for was to freeze fox food as fox bait for fox trapping. So that one is just, I look at my grandmother who, for one thing, couldn't buy a muffin tin. It had to be issued to her, and then it was taken away. We hope that by bringing this to light, people will see what an important role the Pribilof chapter is in the history of the United States.
How difficult was it in the 80s when that transition happened and suddenly your people were in charge of themselves exclusively? How difficult was it economically?
I think a lot of the energy went to deciding who was going to be in charge of what. We had a municipal government, we had a tribal government, and we had a village corporation. In addition to that, we were planning a harbor, and so all of this kept people busy, and I think we kept our heads above water. It wasn't smooth, it wasn't easy, but I think we did pretty good.
And the celebration starts this week. What do you have planned?
What we decided was that what we really needed to do was to celebrate our whole history. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go way back to prior to the Russians, quote unquote, discovering the Pribilof Islands. We're going to celebrate one of our own people, Igadaga, who solely in a single hatch kayak went from the Aleutian Islands to the Pribilofs And other than the commemorative paddle, we were going to commemorate the evacuation of our people to Thunder Bay during World War II. This will start with a commemorative softball game. When the people were notified that they were to be evacuated, they were right in the middle of a baseball game in our nearly 100-year-old baseball field. And so we'll start there. And Saturday afternoon, the church bells will toll. And as a community, we will walk to a dock on the east side of the village and have a prayer commemorating that walk that our people took in 1942 to board the USAT Delaroff. And one of the things that we forget is when our people left, they had, you know, like one piece of luggage. And when they boarded that ship and looked back, they never knew if they were going to come back again.
Aquilina Lestenkoff is the director of the Aleut Culture Department on St. Paul Island. She says documentary films, dance exhibitions, and other activities will take place throughout their independence celebration.